Time in America, so he has got 24 hours now here, and so welcome, and Bishop Paul has already been here a week, and but this is about his 10th time here in Minnesota. Some of you know, just a very brief piece of the story here, so 24 years ago this summer, while we here in America were being mesmerized by the O.J. Simpson trial, a million people in 100 days were dying in Rwanda. And World Vision invited Dr. Arthur and Molly Rauner, who send their greetings. They are in their at their summer home in New Hampshire, but invited them to come over to begin to do, to see what could be done to heal hearts. Many of the big NGOs were there, and many of them were doing all kinds of wonderful, needed relief work, but that the heart issues were not yet addressed. And so so they came over. Soon after, they met Gilbert and Bishop Paul, and who went through some of the very early retreats. And out of that has grown an incredible movement of reconciliation that has touched now the lives of about 25,000 folks in Rwanda and spread throughout that area. They've been in, we have worked and done work in Uganda, in Congo, in South Sudan, in Tanzania, Kenya, Burundi, so many, many, many countries, as well as here in America. And I'm going to give you a brief update on some of those works a little bit later as we close out the evening. But on the back table, or on the table that's right as you go out the doors, you'll find a number of materials that I would invite you to pick up. There is our newsletter, which really has some wonderful articles in it, and you can find that there. You can find our brochure with a contact sheet and a Bible bookmark, one of our kind of a foundation scripture for us out of Isaiah chapter 40. So pick those up. You can also sign up to be on our email and mail newsletter list and all of that to be able to get ongoing communications for us. And should God prompt you tonight in some way in your heart and you feel like you want to participate financially with us, there's a basket back there, and we welcome your donations because this is a faith-based ministry, and it's based on our partnership with folks just like you that help to keep expanding this amazing work. So, again, thank you all for being here. Thank you for just gracing us by coming this evening to share with us. And by the way, there are also, on the back table on your way out, I think there's still leftover vitamins. They kind of look like sweets, but they're really vitamins, which you need to take before you go to strengthen, and coffee and water and all of that. So, all right. So, without any further ado, I am going to welcome, for the first time together here. Now, I get to be with these guys over in Africa all the time, but it's just an absolute joy to have them here with us tonight. And they're going to share their personal story of reconciliation. So I'm going to ask you to join me in welcoming my brothers from other mothers. Would you please bless? And as one of my young colleagues has reminded our congregation, if you hear someone speaking with an accent, it just simply means that they know more languages than you do. And so English is, I think, Gilbert's fourth, and I don't know how many, I don't know how many languages you know, Paul. How many?
What?
How many languages?
Other languages,
oh, only about 20. Okay, so. Yeah, so these are on and ready to go. So,
Greetings from Rwanda.
Yeah, you're good.
Yes, it is our nature and culture. Whenever we meet people first, the first time, we first greet and bring greetings. If you receive greetings from Rwanda, from the tribe called Banyarwanda, would you please give up your hands and say that you are together? There are some people who are not together because they can hardly understand my accent. Not because they don't want us, but my accent is too hard. Maybe he can interpret it for me if his accent is well known, because it has lasted long. Maybe people are familiar to him. Eh? So we have greetings, really greetings from Rwanda to the people who, where we come from, our families, our churches, and the team that we work together. They know about our trip here, and they, even the last time, they prayed for us, and even gave us a request. Before we leave, we shall want to write a letter to Alpha and Mole. That is what they requested us, that even if we don't see them, we write to them that they still recognize them. And we are very grateful to be here in front of you. We know being with you here to listen about our lives and how we came to be together and work together in this work for more than 20 years. More than 20 years means we seem as if we sign a contract, but but I believe very well that God made it, not because we chose to be together, no one knew, but God made it. I'm very grateful to have Gilbert alongside with me for all those years, being my younger brother. It is well known everywhere. Even if I go somewhere without him, they ask me, "Where is your brother Gilbert?" And they do the same to him. I have heard Jim saying that friendship can even sometimes change to be brothers. So we have become brothers. Our families are very connected, very connected. When I say that, I mean it. Both our wives, even we don't know how God made it. Our wives, they have same names. His wife is called Odette, my wife is called Odette. And how they came to be connected, I don't know. But what I know, they are good friends. Very good friends. Gilbert, I knew him when he founded Mini African Revival Ministries. It is an organization that was founded by a man died, passed away, called David Ndaluhutsi. He died in an air crash when they were going in Minembwe to preach the gospel. Yeah, you remember about that. So he died. After, actually, I had known Gilbert in 3 months, I think. Three months. Gilbert came in that office. I was always very... Anyway, I wanted to run away because I feared him. The reason was, being a Hutu, soon after genocide, and our mind, including my mind, was thinking that every Hutu is a killer. And now he's coming in the office, and of course he's given even the post ahead of me to be director, my director. It was too hard for me to believe, and even we went aside and told our leader, the founder of that ministry, "What have you done?" He said, "If we don't appoint Gilbert, how will you make reconciliation if you are one tribe? One so-called tribe of the survivors, of the people full of anger that your relatives were killed on. How can we bring the reconciliation? Because in his mind, the ministry was to bring a new way of life. That's why they called it revival ministries. A new way of living. We used to go and preach the gospel of reconciliation everywhere, whereas reconciliation we had not in our lives. That were mere words that one can preach, but not the life you live. So, after that, we argued with him, I will be saying something and he stop. He says something, then he stops like that, because one can finish all hours telling the life that we lived. So Gilbert actually became my director, but I was in charge of seminars and teachings. He had an office, I had an office, but we could not meet. We could meet only when people are together, say, "What can we do about that?" But not from the heart. Actually, I feared him. He did the same. I don't want to say what he was thinking, because you remember he came with the people who liberated the country. So he knew I can always bring people to him. That was his fear. I think he will mention, he will say his. So when we started the work, with such a fear, God opened the way. When we were talking about the people, you might all know Arthur and Molly. We are the first people who met them in the first meeting, but we are not the ones he wanted. Yeah, this is how God works. We were not the right people he wanted. He wanted those people who can... Protestant Council, so that these people can organize all the Protestants. ACC. That was one. Two, Alliance, Evangelical Alliance. He tried. Three, AEE was moving very fast in Rwanda by that time. So when he reached them with the approach he had in mind, these people felt this man, may I say it, Gilbert, he had a lot of things on this arm and very many things on his leg. So he came like American, you see, cowboy, with a good heart, you remember? So when people saw him, they said, "What is this one coming to tell us?" And he came very humble, thinking that this is the way to reach people. So he did the meeting, and after the meeting, they told him, we had very many Pentecostal Swedish guys who do not like all those things. And then somebody took him aside. No? Yes, bracelet. They said, no. So he changed next time so that at least he can reach us. He had a man called Tekri, Ethiopian guy, who was the program director, international program director. So we met. The first time I attended, I did not finish. I had no news. nothing could attach me. Because in my heart, too heavy. Number one, I grew up orphan when I was 6. My father died. I grew up in a refugee camp. And this is coming while he's a white man. And we know we were chased in the country of Rwanda by Belgium. So we hated them actually. And we could not differentiate the Bazungu. They were all the same. All the white ones. And when we grew up in such amazing things, I came to love them somehow, because when I was in Bible college, actually, I got a scholarship from Sweden. So I hated it. So I was able to go in my Bible training, and my principal was a white. So the same thing, okay. But really, it didn't come out of my heart, because the situation I grew up in was only hatred. Now coming in Rwanda, where Gilbert and his brothers and what were leading this nation have killed all relatives that were left in Rwanda by the time we were out of this country. I think as a human being, I had no way of loving Gilbert when I faced that he's a Hutu. Now coming to be my boss, I was almost resigning. And as I'm thinking of that, I think the same. So until this man died, our international director and the founder of the ministry, we remained alone. No money. When I need money, some money to help my family, if he doesn't give that money, I know he deserved to do so. Of course, though he hadn't, I expected money as a director. He can do something and solve my need, because we were volunteering. We had no payments, but we could get some little support. So, Gilbert, the first time I told you in retreat, I feared. When we reached the first day, the second day didn't come. Because I found that nothing from that old man and woman. The second time, again, they gathered us. Then that is when that question came. What do you mean by healing? And you gather pastors, you think that they can do something. We said, the pastors you see are all healed. I mean, wounded. Some are Hutus. They have the wound of their brothers and sisters who killed the people they were praying together in the same church. Those innocent Hutus that did not do that. And others have lost their relatives because they stood against that. So, others have their families arrested in the prison. How do you think these people can bring healing? What about the Tutsi areas who have lost so many? We are wounded. We need something that can help us. And of course, we also wanted at least the crusade, a very big crusade of some million people, a million at least, to hear that gospel of healing. And that was not the way of reaching people. So he had that. So the next way we were pastors, then we started, and I, fortunately enough, I finished the whole retreat. I remember Gilbert. That is when we organized the gathering while we are not healed. Yes, we are the one who organized that. And we invited the pastors, but still, we were very far separated. And the miraculous way,
that they cannot say how it came. We listened until I felt I think Janet has my story. I had a lot of things that I started feeling as if I'm carrying something heavy in my back. I said, if now there is a possibility of putting these things somewhere, I know the word, come to me, you who are uploaded to me, and I will give you rest. I know it. I used to preach that. But I thought this is for some people who come to give the first day their life to Jesus. I didn't recognize that I'm of the same kind. So I accepted. I brought mine to the cross. The rest I want Gilbert to say, I don't want to mention it, but that was a starting of my life. I say, I have been 10 years pastoring a church. I think I have been poisoning people. Because nobody can give what he hasn't. If I had no forgiveness, if I was so burdened in my heart like this, what message have I been giving? It's mere words, not inspiring people. Really, I cried, and I felt not forgiving what happened, but repenting what the wounds caused in my life. The story is too big. Days and days, the journey of reconciliation in our lives. Maybe I want to give Jiri, but I will say, as I said, as we still have time to give up at least a part of the life, then we shall want you to ask us the way you think or what maybe you need to know more about us.
Thank you, Paul. I want to begin my story by the time when the RPF, the Rwanda Patriotic Front, was coming in the country, and as a Hutu who have been living in the country and seeing the country destroyed and everything devastated, people killed, I thought this is not a country someone can live in. And again, knowing that a Tutsi army is invading the country, I said, with other Hutus, we just fled out. We went to Congo, in Goma, and I lived in a refugee camp for almost 1 year. And I had some friends who invited me to Kenya, and two pastors sent a letter to me. They said, we heard people talking about you in the neighborhood, so there is nothing they are accusing you, so you better come back to the country. But my feeling was, even though no one is talking any bad thing against me, but the country is ruled by Tutsis, that is a big reason for me to not come in. Now, it happened that my father was living in the east of the country, and he fled to Tanzania. And the refugee camp in Tanzania was 17 kilometers from the border. And I was living in Goma, just, I think, 5 kilometers from the border. And then it happened that I wanted to see my father. Now, from Goma to Njia Panda, yeah, I think it's just six to seven hours drive. But my next possibility to reach my father was to go around the Congo come down to Bukavu, then from Bukavu go to Chigoma, which is near Zambia or Malawi. Kigoma, and then come back again from Kigoma to I think four towns. It took me 7 days to go around Rwanda to see my father and go back to Goma where I was living. But when I was doing that long journey, God talked to me, said, "Now, if you fear death, I think this trip is more dangerous than living with Tutsis in Rwanda." So the same God who protected you during that long journey can protect you when you are in Rwanda. So I said, "Lord, maybe you can." I didn't trust in mouth, but I said, "Okay, now I want to prove that you are right and go back to Rwanda." When I got to Rwanda, there was a friend in England who was my partner, and he learned that I'm back in Rwanda. He said, "Gilbert, I know you have been suffering all those atrocities. I want to invite you to UK for 5 or 6 months for you to rest and be restored, and then you can go back to Rwanda." And when I went to England, I said, "Oh, now this is the end of the story with Rwanda. I have a good reason to leave Rwanda, which is ruled by Tutsis. I went to UK, and while in UK, God clearly told me, 'Gilbert, you have one choice to do. If you want to be my servant, you will serve me in Rwanda. And if you want to resign, just stay in UK.'" Oh, my heart was beating. Now, in that particular time, there were some infiltrators who were coming from Congo and using my native area as a base to attack and kill people in Rwanda. So I was in danger. But God convinced me that he had a work for me in Rwanda. And I could just argue, say, no. There are a lot of pastors and preachers and there are all those Tutsis who came from Uganda and Tanzania. They are there. They can work. And for me, I'm done with Rwanda. But finally, I had to obey and come back to Rwanda. And it's what Paul was saying about this man, David, who appointed me to be the national director of African Revival Ministries. And you can imagine a ministry which was born in Burundi, and only Tutsis from Burundi were part of it, and I was the only Hutu working there as the head. Wow. So how to assign duties to all those people, including Paul? It was really a headache. Now, one particular thing about Paul is that the whole physical appearance was really the typical Tutsi I have known. He's the he's the real Tutsi, and maybe for others they could hide themselves, but for Paul, mm-mm-mm. Now, because I was the leader, I had the possibility to assign him to go to north when I needed to go to south. Maybe, or send him to west when I should go to east. And now, my privilege was, I had the last word. When Arthur and Mary came, and they organized this first retreat, Paul had the courage to go and not finish, but I categorically refused to go. I said, no. I cannot sit down with those Tutsis, because when I came back to Rwanda, one Tutsi family was occupying my house. And when they were forced to go out, they destroyed everything. Windows, doors, lights. And I said, that is the spirit of Tutsis, so I don't have anything to do with them. So I said, no. The second time, they again invited me, and I came, just looked from the door. There were about 12 or 13 people gathering in a circle. And I said, no. This is not a place for me. A director of an organization, I'm so important, so I can sit with just a few people. And but the real issue was not my title. The real issue was my wound, because I saw some long noises, and I know those are Tutsis. But the third time, now I was asked to organize it, because my boss has promised the Rwandans that we will serve them in Rwanda. So now this was the big problem. I have to organize something I hate. But I said, no. This is the solution. I can send Paul to do the logistics. And it's my way to get him away of me. But I had to be present. Now, I came just to introduce the people and the guests and be there. But by the grace of God, this old couple talked about bringing our burdens to the cross. I said, yes, I have mine. If I can bring them to the cross, maybe I will be healed. So I decided to stay in order to have an opportunity to bring my wounds and my burdens to the cross. Not to make reconciliation with Tutsis. And when the time came, I was kneeling, bringing the pain of my destroyed house, bringing the pain of the shame of being called a Hutu, a killer, because all of us Hutus were considered as killers. And I said, Lord, this is my opportunity to come and just cry. But at the same time, when I was kneeling, I felt someone on my side was also kneeling and crying. I didn't bother who he was or who was on my next, but I was feeling a touch from heaven. I was feeling some drops of the blood of Jesus coming to my pain and my wounds, and I was really happy to be healed And when I woke up, I realized that the one who was on my side was Paul. And when I just look at his face, I saw a different person. I saw a radiant, joyful. I thought he was still young, no gray heads. A handsome man who was just smiling, enjoying the healing, and we just embraced and hugged each other. Now, my feeling was this: I am healed. My pain is gone. My burden are gone. I forgive the person who destroyed my house. But now, there is Paul who is healed. And he had brought his pain to the cross. I have brought mine to the cross. But there is no plan for reconciliation. So, I don't know really what the rest of the story is. I think it was a beginning of a process which only God could carry on. Because we had to go in several places to organize the retreats. And when we were in those retreats, he was telling his story and was telling my story. And now people were saying, okay, your stories are very sweet, but we want to see how you relate to each other. Until we went to Changugu. Now, again, as a director, I sent Paul ahead with another man, I think Ezekiel, both Tutsis, Eliezer. And when they were there arranging for the center, Paul said, please, if you give me a room, give me a twin room, because I'm waiting for a friend who is coming behind me and will stay in the same room. No, and they thought it is a fellow Tutsi who is coming. And the second day, here comes Gilbert, the real Hutu, who is original, who is joining a Tutsi team. And then Paul took him around to the participants, saying, now, this is my friend I was talking about. He's coming now, and we will stay in the same room. And people were shocked. And then we went to the room, and we spent the night, and the next morning, one of the participants, just stood up and said, hey, I have something to say. So, okay, we come. Now, for 2 days, these two Tutsis were talking to us, but we never listened to them. Now that Paul is staying with Gilbert in the same room, we are 100% confident that you are healed and reconciled. You can teach us everything you want, because your life is teaching more than your words. So from that time, we began to realize that God has brought us together for a purpose. We have a lot of stories together, but not only stories, but also sharing the life, sharing what I can say, not really a persecution, but a pressure for our two tribes. Because sometimes they don't understand me being related to a Tutsi, not only a Tutsi, but someone who have lived in Uganda, where the RPF attacked Rwanda from. So he's one of them. Actually, he's one of them. But he was a pastor, and I was a pastor, a good preacher, maybe a good teacher. And now, when we were sitting, I said, you know, we are giving what we have. We are giving what is in us. So if in us there are hatred and grudge and anger, it means our whole message is anger and hatred and grudge. So we have to change, not for our own sake, but for the sake of people we are preaching to. That was my story, but just made short before I come back to him. I would say now the result of this is that our families are also coming together. My daughter, who will be married in December, is a good friend to his daughter because they are both good singers. They share the same band. But one day, they were just talking about this issue of Hutus and Tutsis, and they were joking. They said, so what is your tribe? And my daughter said, I really don't know. And then his daughter asked a second question. He said, now, what is the benefit for you to become a Hutu or a Tutsi? Because today, if your father died and my father died, no one could identify us who is Tutsi or Hutu. And my daughter came to speak to me and say, now that I understand the fruits of your ministry with Paul, because us as children are really crossing over, are going beyond the made up tribe problem. We have no problem living together. And please, don't bring us again in your old story. We are making a new life. We are making a new future. Please don't hold us back again. So it's like we are working not for our benefits, but for the benefits of our families, our congregations, and our grandchildren to come. He already has grandchildren. Maybe I'm waiting for one in 2 years to come. But we feel a responsibility to clear a way for those coming generations.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah. I have realized that you have nowhere to learn the calling. You can't hide or reject what God has told you or given you. Has told you when he heard the voice when he was in the UK. Actually, I believe he was risking because he was not sure of being safe according to the situation that you were in by that time. I came to Rwanda while the genocide was still happening. I think he knows my testimony. And the voice was, if you don't go, people will perish. And I said, what am I going to do? And I entered Rwanda thinking that my message I had in mind was to tell the Tutsis not to revenge. Because I was a pastor near the river Akagera, we used to see dead bodies passing there. And so everyone was very angry. I had the anger, but I could not revenge because it is written. But in my heart, in my mind, in my thinking, would say, if all the Hutus can die tonight, I can say that is what they deserve. So my heart was killing, though physically I could not do it. So the calling was to enter in Rwanda and tell the armies not to revenge, because that could bring a curse. That was the message I had only. And I didn't know, I don't even remember why I came in Rwanda without anything else. The war was still there. I had a parish. I was a pastor. But I had that force taking me to Rwanda. When I reached Rwanda, you remember, I think you were not in the ministry, when I took the minibus of David to go and meet the refugee, the Hutu refugees when they were coming back from Tanzania. And that message of preaching peace came while I was not healed, but I had a message and the passion of telling them that they are welcomed. But my heart was still burdened. I realized that even if you see Gilbert and myself, not because we wanted, but the seed of calling that God put in us, God developed it. I remember on our way of ministering, there is where people asked me, do you hear the message of Gilbert when you were in Kibungo? Say, how comes millions of people died and Gilbert is wounded because of a house? They took windows and doors. Instead of crying for the people, he is telling us that the door from his house were taken and yet he is still in that house. So don't you see him? I said, do you know why you are telling me that? You are still in terrible wounds. To me, any sin is a sin. And any wound, whether little or big, they are all wounds. The solution is one. And the cause, again, of those is one. What we are trying to reach is to reach solutions. What can help my heart? What can help Gilbert's heart? Gilbert could not bring the cross all the Tutsis who died. He doesn't know even, because killing a Tutsi was a celebration. But may I tell you another thing I did? I investigated myself. I used the man here, not here. I said, I want to see really if Gilbert is healed. I asked, Gilbert, tell me the story. Because you were here during genocide. What happened? How were people? So he told me how people were killed, how they were jumping. Is this the Hutu is saying the brother and sister killed all the people? And now he said, this man is healed. Even if they say about his house, it was his house and somebody hurt him because he didn't want to give it to him. And again, he destroyed it. And that is a pattern in his heart. He had to lay that on the cross. As I laid the death of my people, the heart, because it was darkening my life. And that is where I remembered the Pilgrim Progress. They said somebody was carrying his burden, and when he reached on the cross, the burden went down. Then I brought a kind of illustration that this man was bending, now he raised up, he found that he's now light, the burden was gone, and from there he composed the song, "This is the starting of my joy." Then I said, if it is so, how can I mix a joy and a sorrow? Joy times sorrow is equal to what? I think it can be equal to disaster. Yes, you have said a good word. I said, this is a calling. I didn't want, though I knew what to say. But my life was always leading me to remain with hatred, cunning, as if we are brothers. But when I reach there, I have a group of people I believe in. The same thing applies to him. Again, we did another step. We went in Ruhengeri, where he's coming from, where he was born. And that is a place only of Hutus. And most of them were perpetrators. So when we reached there, I was very, very fearful, thinking that today it might be my last day. But if I die, I could not tell him. At least he will tell the story. I knew he could not be pleased, but I said he could tell the story. When we reached there, we started preaching, and the temple to him is Paul taught, because these people, most of them didn't know them, the young ones. They say, yes, he's a Tutsi. Are all Tutsis smile like Paul? That was the so they fall in love with me. Now they are the best friends. So this started. So we actually, our testimony and our working together and showing really who we are, just bear born fruits. People wanted to learn from us. And that is a very big contribution of the growth of our work.
Yeah, maybe the last story, short story, I can tell you that I don't know, maybe about about 8 years, one of the retreats we had to organize was bringing together widows of an association of survivors. And you can imagine all of them were Tutsi. And they heard the news from one of them who have been in a retreat and say, now we had a wonderful group, a wonderful ministry which can help us. Please, all of you come and we'll attend a retreat. And 30 of them came. And as usual, Paul and Gilbert were the facilitators. And now I had to give maybe the first or the second talk. And when I looked at the faces, everyone was just like this. They didn't want to see my face. And this is the killer, this is a Hutu. How can he stand before us and speak to us? There is no message from a Hutu we can hear. And then I heard the Spirit talking to me and say, Gilbert, you are not here for teaching. You have nothing to teach to these people. You are here to ask forgiveness and to repent on behalf of your tribe. I said, Lord, but if I repent, if I confess what my tribe did, they will kill me. But I had anything else to say and to do. And I really stood there for a few minutes, and finally I took all my courage and said, my sisters, I see that I don't have any message for you. I just ask forgiveness. Please forgive me for all the bad things my tribe did to you. And now I understand my risk, because you can punish me. You can do anything you want about me. Then I thought maybe if I kneel down and hide my face, anyone who will grab a chair and to hit me will hit the back, not the front. So I knelt down with my face on the ground and I began to cry. One of the ladies just came and also kneeled on my side. One by one, all of them were just lying and crying. I said, my Lord, what is this? And now Paul, who was standing, or more scared than I was, because he was saying, these ladies have just broken the flow of the retreat, and the program is broken. No more talk, no more prayer. They are just crying for hours, I think.
All the 24 women came on his shoulders, and he was down there. They all, one another, and they all cried. He cried, they all cried. I had no way of stopping them, that is one. I can't say anything. So I started also saying, I did not shout in crying, but tears were also coming. I had nothing to do. I failed to do anything. And actually, that thing was very terrible. But I don't know how we started it. Remember, these ladies are widows. All their husbands and children were killed by Hutus. And Gilbert here, it was even out of the talk. He saw the way they are seeing, and he said, now, you remember you said, I believe you can stone me. If you can do anything, I deserve to be punished on behalf of my people. So when he knelt down, they cried even before him. And then they created something I have never heard. They started one taking him, saying, you see what happened? He's now still their advisor. They don't mind whether they meet me or not. Gilbert is a brother. They called him a brother since then. So it was terrible and very fantastic. And actually, I saw that is when I saw the inspiration of the ministry of healing and reconciliation.
So today, maybe for concluding, today we see not only a responsibility of taking the message of reconciliation, but we see a way of carrying on the rest of our days as old folks who are just going down. And I think the only message and the only legacy we can leave behind for Rwanda and for the East African region is the legacy of reconciliation. And we don't want to preach only reconciliation. We want to leave reconciliation. And one of the tests we have done, me and him, to prove our healing and our reconciliation is our reaction when Paul has done wrong to me or when I have done wrong to him. I can confront him now. Say, Paul, this is not right. I don't agree with you. But before the healing, I can say, okay, this is how Tutsis behave. When he has done wrong, I say, okay, now I know. They are always like that. They are. Tutsi were all the Tutsis were in Paul, but today Paul is Paul. And he's a real Tutsi. He didn't change. He's still a Tutsi. But he's a brother. He's a friend. He's Paul. He's the man who can do good or bad. And God has really restored our lives. I think the story is very long, but we just thank you for listening to the small part of it. If you want the full story, just come to Rwanda and spend a year. Just 1 year is enough to hear what I've been living for 22 years. Thank you.
Finishing, I want you to know one thing. One of the reality that this work God called us. In history, in other lives of people working together, Gilbert has told you he was the first director. Now, after a while, I became the director.
He's my boss now.
wait for a while. It is not easy to be led by the people, by the person that you are leading. On one side of himself, he could say, no, I don't want him. On my side, I could also say, no, this man, maybe treated like this, maybe he will not respect me. But it has never happened. He is Gilbert. He is not God. He is not an angel. Some angels also rebelled. He is not Michael. But I come, I call him Gilbert, so and so and so and so. He said, okay. It did not work well. Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. I do the same. But it is one of the evidence that God had called us not by for any benefit that we expect in this ministry. It's because we are doing what is in us. And I still thank you because we are together and we promise to finish together. Amen.
All right. Well. Where do you go from there? So now you know how grateful I am to have brothers like this to call my friends and my family. I'm reminded, and just to put an exclamation point on what they've shared tonight, I want to bring your attention to Isaiah chapter 61. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I want you to know that tonight, these are two oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And they have been integral in helping to rebuild and renew and restore a place that had been devastated. And it is the mercy and goodness and grace of God flowing through their lives as willing servants that has done that. So, one more time, would you join me in thanking them, but in thanking God for working through them? Could we just thank them? Thank you. You may be seated for just a moment more. So this is the work to which we have been called as the Pilgrim Center for Reconciliation. Our call is to bring hope and healing through renewing individuals, restoring relationships, and revitalizing communities through the ministry of reconciliation. Tonight you've borne testimony of two lives that first renewed as individuals, then a relationship restored, and out of that relationship now, communities, a country being revitalized. This is the gift, this is the work, this is the call that God has given to us to go to places of historic and contemporary pain and conflict to bring this hope and healing. Thank you for your partnership with us in this work, because we can't do it without that partnership, working together. Truly, we are better together. So I just want to let you know of a few of the things that are happening presently in the work of the Pilgrim Center, and I will be very brief on this. But God has been doing remarkable work in Rwanda for all of these years. But the work is not exclusively there in Rwanda. Paul and Gilbert were just over beginning mentoring some new leaders in a new work that is growing in Uganda. They've been with me in Congo, where we've been in both the East and the West. We've been in Goma and Bukavu, and we've been over in Kinshasa doing work there. Dr. Monica, where are you? Dr. Monica, and she'll be joining me in January, but I'm going to be heading over here in September. And then again in January, we're going up to the border of Uganda and South Sudan to work in the refugee camps up in South Sudan, a country that has been utterly shattered. We have, in fact, several South Sudanese, a few of you, if you're coming on the retreat that starts tomorrow, would you stand up? I know at least one of our delegates from South Sudan is here. Hallelujah. So tomorrow, please pray for us. Tomorrow, We start a three-day healing and reconciliation with 30 South Sudanese leaders, part of the diaspora from South Sudan. These are folks who are pastors. These are people who have been high government officials who have been driven from their country, who are here in the States, who are deeply wounded. And we are going to be working together as a team with Dr. Monica and Jill, who's here, and Meredith. We're going to be working as a team together to start some healing. Because I remember Dr. Arthur, who I've learned so much from, when he first went to Rwanda, some people said it's too early for reconciliation. Some people said it's too late for reconciliation. Dr. Arthur said, it's always time for reconciliation. So it's time for reconciliation to begin for South Sudan. Then, amen? Hallelujah. Then on Friday, yes, did you have something to add? Please.
Well, I want to bring this quote from an official of Rwanda. She was at that time the head of the National Reconciliation Commission. And she said to us when she attended one of our healed community celebration, she said, the government has the structure for reconciliation, but you, the church, you have the message.
And
she was a Muslim. And she said, we have the structure, but you have the message.
Amen.
So help us bring the message in those structures.
Thank you. We heard a very similar word. We've heard that in many. We've heard in Uganda. We went up to Moroto to two tribes that had been in conflict for generations. And we went there. The first lady of Uganda, who's a Christian, they took all the guns away. They took all the guns. Well, they took all the guns they could find. Up in the from the Karamojong tribe. And they put a police station in every village. But she said, we need your help. Because we can take away their guns. But we cannot change their hearts. And when we were in Congo, Dr. Justin was with me. We were in the UN. We were with the US ambassador to Eastern Congo. And when we shared about, he said, you have the right message and the right method. And this is the right time. And then we went to Eastern Congo. We were in Kinshasa at the time. We went to Eastern Congo, met with a UN, high UN official there. He said the exact same words. This is the message. This is the message. This is the method. The way of getting that heart transformation. And now's that time. So Friday to Sunday, lunch, we have this South Sudanese retreat. And then we come back here starting at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon right here. We have an African leadership conference on Christian ethics and advocacy. And we have leaders flying in from all over, many from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Some of those, my friends, are here already, so please stand. And these are three of the delegates who have already arrived, who will be here. So thank you. Welcome, Karibu. And so Dr. Steve, Dr. Justin, myself, and some others will be bringing 3 days of leadership conference. And then that ends on Wednesday at noon. And Wednesday evening, we start another healing and reconciliation retreat with our Congolese leaders that will be running through Friday. Because again, if you've read about, if you know what's going on in the DRC, historically and now, deep healing is needed. So Dr. Justin, our Congolese country director, is helping us organizing that so that we can continue to grow that work. A week after that, Annette and I fly out to New Hampshire, where we'll be with Dr. Arthur and Molly, and we're doing the first ever for us. So We have had this 3-day healing and reconciliation retreat for over 20 years. A year ago, we got invited by the Union Gospel Mission to come and do a half-day retreat for all of their staff, 120 staff. So we formed and what we developed now is a half-day and full-day Heart of Reconciliation retreat. It's kind of the instant pot rather than the crock pot of reconciliation. We're doing our first ever Heart of Reconciliation retreat with veterans. Because this is a group of people who carry deep wounds. We've done our Heart of Reconciliation retreat. We did it at Covenant Village with seniors. How many of you know that there are some seniors with some reconciliation issues? Yes, Sissy. We recently, just a week and a half ago, Jonathan, who's here, my wife Annette, Peg McCormick, the four of us did a retreat at Bethel University with the ministry staff there, the folks that work directly frontline with the students, as well as the direct frontline folks who do work with students from the University of Northwestern. We told them when we got the two of them together, we were bringing reconciliation between Bethel and Northwestern. But, and they are looking to say, how can we bring this to our students and staff and faculty? These are such deep need. The opportunities are endless. We're in churches. So then in September, I'm off to Uganda, South Sudan. The work continues all over. So pray for us. Please pray for us. And pray that God will continue to open the doors. This is the year of also. Isaiah 49:6. Lord says, it's too small a thing for you to be just doing this with Judah. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. So this is the year of also. This is the year of God expanding this incredible work. We have just completed, again, Dr. Jonathan Stewart, one of our board members, is here. A small team of us have put together a 6-session curriculum called The Way of Reconciliation. This takes many of the principles from the retreat and creates it in a form, an interactive way that a small group, Sunday school class, others who want to go in depth into the issues of reconciliation can do. So a lot of times when we get done with the retreat, people say, now what do I do? Now we have something we can hand folks to begin that process to continue. Because my heart beats with this. I want to see more than simply, as wonderful as it is, I want to see more than moments of reconciliation. I believe God wants to build a movement of reconciliation. We've seen it happen. By God's grace, we're going to continue to see it happen in Rwanda, in all those countries. You know, I was in Nepal last year. They're hungry, longing. We had an incredible retreat there. God is doing amazing things. Would you help us continue to spread the word? We have our fall celebration. Will be on Thursday, October 11th. Thursday, October 11th. If you want to be, if you want to make sure to get information about the stuff we're doing, how to pray, we send out regular stories of transformation emails that tell testimonies from what's happening. So if you want to hear fresh, hot testimonies, God's doing miracles now, right now. In 2018, God is still doing miracles, obliterating the dividing walls of hostilities through the cross. So sign up on our sheet back there. Grab our newsletter, grab our brochure, grab one of the Bible bookmarks. Again, if you feel led by God, not driven, led by the Spirit tonight, and you want to make a contribution tonight, you just do that to Pilgrim Center. There's a basket back there. There's a sheet you can fill out if you want to do something monthly, regularly, consistent, whatever. Whatever God puts in your heart to do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did I say thank you? Thank you. Thank you, my friends. Asante. Thank you, my brothers. Amen. I'm going to ask my friend and board member, Dr. Monica, if you would come up and pray to close the evening. Dr. Monica is, she's our prayer coordinator here in the Pilgrim Center as well, and a mighty woman of God. I've always said, if you really need prayer, find yourself an African woman and get close. Honestly, that's the truth. So,
thank you.
All right. So, could we stand together? Let's just, in a posture of just openness, just open your hands as Dr. Monica prays for us tonight.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your support. Let's join our hands together. As oneness, as God is here with us. The same God who's been with these two is the same God who is with us and with each of you. He's a miracle-working God, ever-present God, who sends his angels to collect our tears when we cry. And he's the same God who raised this ministry, put it in the heart of Molly and Arthur. And it's growing all over the world. We say thank you to God. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. As people, you're brought together. You know each one by name. And this day is written in heaven. That we saw, you brought our two brothers, our pastors, Paul and Pastor Gilbert, to be with us here, returning what went from here to them over 30 years ago. Thank you for the seed you put in our four founding fathers, Dr. Rana and Molly. And today, you continue that ministry. You've handed the baton to Pastor Jim, Sister Annette, and the team, and all those who are joining together, the board, and partners. And thank you for bringing the team from Congo, and the team that's happening this weekend, from South Sudan, from all over, from Canada, and here in the U.S. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you. You are a good surprise. You always surprise us. And we know that the seeds that are scattered, they are germinating everywhere. And we say thank you. Lord, continue your work, Lord. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. You know exactly what part each of us has, just as vessels that you have called this time. Each and everyone who is here, there is a reason. Only you know, God. That the reason come to pass. That the purpose come to pass, Heavenly Father. We thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for miracles. We thank you that what you have started, it will come to be finished. Thank you for each one you are using in different roles. Thank you for those organizing these two retreats. Thank you for our brother, Dr. Justin. Thank you, our sister Jill. Thank you for many who are doing and running, Chrissy. All those who are even in the background doing many things. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the organizers, those who cook. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray your blessing and your peace that passes all understanding. Continue to be with each and everyone. And thank you for the team you brought to be with us in Minnesota. And welcome them in Minnesota. And we give them to you that they'll have a good time. And thank you that we'll all drive and go home safe. and have a good night as we think of the message that we have had God bring, that message that you want to speak through the Holy Spirit into each and every heart. Let it bring seed. Let it bring fruit for your glory. We thank you. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, may you be filled with the immeasurable love of God the Father, the irresistible mercy and grace of Jesus Christ the Son, with the inexhaustible strength and power, comfort and hope of the Holy Spirit be with you and yours, as you go from this house to yours, sent as ambassadors of reconciliation. Go with the banner of his favor over your lives, and until we gather again, either in this house or in our eternal home, may his love and goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul and Gilbert are going to, I'm going to usher them, invite them to come with Dr. Justin. If you would walk them out to the lobby. If you want to hear more about how now 25,000 people in Rwanda have been touched through this ministry, if you just want to visit with them, encourage them, please do so. There's, again, vitamins cleverly concealed as desserts back there. And pray for us. And all the materials are back there. And God bless you. Amen.